Yes, sir. Day late, dollar short. So pay attention, can you afford? Everyday conversation, decision making, breakdown, point of views, of course. Let's go. He say, she say, hey. See how we play. Hey. Real life issues, hit the replay. Okay. Debating politics, right. What sport you profit with. Today's world news, food for thought, so come get a plate. Pull up.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome y'all to another episode of the Daily Dollar Short Podcast. It is your host, Martin, here. I am with Justin and Marlon. How are you doing, fellas?
I'm going to use my government name for this.
This dude. I'm not calling you Jayhawk. That sounds like a made up. It's like a fictional character.
That's my nickname, man.
You call him Keith Sweat?
Jayhawk.
Next week, you're going to call me Justin Anthony, and then it's going to be Justin Anthony Hawkins. And then
no. We asked your name for real?
Yeah.
Ooh. That's mine too. I didn't know that.
It's all three of our middle name.
Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Damn. Look at guy.
Tony, all
right. It is, all right.
Tony.
So this is the moment. We have these moments where we just ramble. It just so yes, Marlon, I'm gonna let you do this. We have a guest join us today, sir. Go ahead and introduce him.
Special guest in the building.
Yes.
That part. He is a husband, attorney, leader among men, an alpha man, of course.
Oh, sick.
A BR resident, well, from Baton Rouge. Also now, the newly elected OPDEC member of District D, Ken Barnes. What's up, brother?
Oh. Y'all got hands.
Welcome.
Clap.
Oh, we're going to have to clap some posts.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you so much for having me this morning. My name is Ken Barnes. Correct, I am from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, but I've called New Orleans my home for the last 7 years. I am a husband married to Damona Barnes. We've been married for 11 years this June 8th. I am a attorney. I graduated from LSU Law. I was the first black person to be the president of the first year class. I was the first black person to be the president of the school. I was able to be a member of the diversity committee that wrote the diversity statement for the law school back in 2015, one that's being challenged now that we have a Republican governor in Jeff Landry who's calling for all the state entities to pull down any semblance of equity. Right. So we're now readdressing that. That's one thing that we're working on. Before going to LSU Law, I went to LSU where I joined the new side chapter of Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Stand up.
I was the president of the NAACP while there. And before that, I started off at Baton Rouge Community College, and I always make it a point to
discuss
that.
That's where I know you from.
You went to BRCC?
My aunt is Ann Sanders.
I
was sitting because when we were outside,
no one's too small,
I was like, he is familiar as hell to me. And it was bugging the hell out of me.
Yep. Well, you might have seen my poster around town, too. Or that time we robbed that bank together.
Oh, so, what?
See, you know.
Statute of limitations, y'all.
Yeah, we can discuss it now.
Let's talk about that.
That's what set it off, got the theory from. Oh. I was Queen Latifah character.
So who were you?
Jada.
B.A.W. Jada.
He got away.
Shout out to Jada.
Oh, my God. That's funny.
But when I graduated from law school, I started off as employment discrimination for civil rights attorney in Baton Rouge before coming to campaign manager for the mayor of Baton Rouge. Moved to New Orleans. My wife got a good job out here. You know, women don't get paid what they should get paid. She was getting close to sniffing what she should get paid. So I said, I'll find a job wherever we go.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah, if I got to go to Phoenix or if I got to go to Ville Platte, we'll make it work.
Right.
So we moved out here. I started off as a public defender before being contacted by the Louisiana Supreme Court. Started off there as Special Counsel of Criminal Justice, expanded to Special Counsel of Criminal Justice and Specialty Courts. What that meant was that it was my job to work with the city of New Orleans, as well as the jail, the police, the district attorney, public defenders, to try to reduce the jail population through a jail reduction program that we were a partner to. Additionally, I work on alternative methods to incarceration. Instead of just somebody getting arrested and going through the normal process of court, well, we have alternative courts, reentry court, which means after a certain period of time, a person accused of a felony would go through a trial process. They plead guilty to the crime, but what they're able to do is go to a facility that has a job training component to it. So they may learn how to cook. They may learn how to fix cars. They may learn how to do AC work. They may learn how to do sewing. All these different things where they can come out with a trade, a skill to reduce their likelihood to recidivize. Or we will have something like drug court where we know that drugs are a health concern and not necessarily a choice of criminal activity. Some people do choose to do crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Some people choose to do drugs. some people lack the ability to choose to do drugs. At this point, an addiction has taken on. And no matter how often you put them in prison, and as we see recently, where people are breaking into jail to deliver drugs, or we have officers being arrested for bringing drugs into the jail. No matter where you put someone, if you continuously arrest them, if we don't address the concern, there will be methods found to try to get those concerns met in the facility. So work with that along with other specialty courts, and that was something that I enjoyed doing for my term with the Supreme Court. Once Chief Justice Johnson retired, at that point I departed from the court, had my own firm, Law Office of Ken Barnes. Over the last 3 years, I've been doing that, as well as the founding wrestling coach for the Xavier wrestling team.
Nice.
So, okay.
We just had we had regionals recently. We've had tournaments here in New Orleans. We will be having a tournament for the students inside the school coming up later in early April. But additionally, we were able to send three wrestlers to nationals.
Nice.
This is a wrestling team that's 3 years old. And we sent three wrestlers to nationals.
That's dope.
And two of them came back as all academic. So the three wrestlers were Reggie, Amu, and True. Mm-hmm. Amu being the captain for this year. Reggie was a past captain, and True is a great wrestler. But Amu and True were able to come back with all academic. So I'm extremely proud of them.
That's nice.
That's dope, man.
That's nice, man. Shout out to you, man.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Look, that's how you stay busy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, also, I'm a cat daddy.
Okay.
I don't have a little.
I was going to say something about that. I'm like, how the hell you can be a cat daddy of all animals?
Well, do you want the truth?
Yes, please.
Okay, because I don't lie. I'm a lawyer, but I'm not a liar, like some people would say here in New Orleans. But all right, so to get started. I met my wife at LSU doing community service. That's the truth. I was painting a house, and she walked underneath the ladder, and she said, "Boy, you up there painting or just looking good?" I said, "Doing both."
Oh, she shot a shot already. Gate.
Well, all right, Curry, come on.
And she almost missed a shot because she immediately started talking about this woman. Said, "Man, why that woman so loud and yelling? Her voice sounds so terrible, this and that." And I said, "Oh, you talking about my aunt?"
Oh, wow.
Oh.
And she was like, "Boy, that's not your aunt." I said, "T-Von." She said, "Yes, Ken Jr.," which is what my family calls me. Mm-hmm. My wife said, "Oh, we ain't never going on no date now." I immediately try to talk to her about, I approach her immediately that day. I said, "Let me give her some time. I'm going to see her on campus." Mm-hmm. Well, about a couple months ago, I tried to talk to her in front of the varsity. I tried to grab her hand and talk to her. She like moves her hand out of my hand, said, "Boy, I got stuff to do," and walks off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh. Mm-hmm. So she goes on. Well, my ex and I from high school were still talking at that time. So we were talking about getting a pet. She was talking about getting a cat. I was talking about getting a dog.
Yes, dogs.
I love animals. Mm-hmm. So we get in an argument at this point. She was, you know, we break up like we did before. Mm-hmm. And thinking it's just going to be a day or two. Well, I said, "I'm going to go get a cat just to make it spiteful." So I got a cat. Fell in love with the cat, Gambit. Gambit died from cancer last year. So when my wife and I got together, Gambit was still around. She was like, "Well, you got your cat. You share everything with me. You gave me a key to your apartment. You give me food off your plate. Mm-hmm. We share finances, but you won't give me a cat. I mean, won't call your cat my cat?" I was like, "No, never." Mm-hmm. "Here's your own cat." So I got her a cat. And then Gambit passed last year. I adopted Bishop. And Bishop is 1 year old and 15 pounds. He's the biggest kitten I've ever seen.
Damn.
Yeah. I like cats.
I don't like cats.
They're unique. Nope. And they're very independent.
Yes, is your cat very moody?
No, my cats act like puppies. Bishop, he plays fetch. He comes to the door. He walks around my feet. He is not moody. He is a loving animal. Wheezy is a Velcro cat. All day, he just wants to be on top of somebody, just held or around. So they are very much like puppies.
You know, around like people come to your house just to hang out, they cool with them too?
Yeah. So both of Wheezy now spends more time around people. Gambit used to be the cat that would spend a lot of time around people, but Bishop being a kitten, he's still trying to figure out what is the world and what are these things that are in my house. I thought there was just two of y'all, and now there's 12 in here. So he's cool, but they're nice. I don't have time for a dog, though.
Dogs are better.
Dogs are commitment.
Yeah. I have a
dog. Dogs are a much more significant. You got to walk them. You just training commitments.
She got to feed cats too.
Yeah,
just naming them.
I'm a dog owner, so you know.
Yeah, I choose not to do it with any of them. One, I'm allergic to cats, so
my bad.
Oh, you go.
But you watched. Never mind. Go ahead. Never mind.
See, you was gonna be stupid right there. I can see
he babysat a cat. We house.
Huh. Oh, you babysit a cat?
I have before, yes. They have medicine for it.
You babysit a cat for someone you were interested in?
Oh, shit. Moving along, shall right. we?
You know, I'm going to start using the government name now. See, we was good.
You already, hey, man, I'm just trying to figure out why you subject yourself to that type of punishment. But, you know, so, the things we do for love.
You risk your health for no, this lady.
One, I didn't risk my health. Two,
you we know, got a guest here, so let's
yeah, keep that's, it. Yeah, that's PG. It for another time.
Oh. I'm, you know, this why I'm here for this.
You can't not all skin folk, kin folk.
Oh,
I'll tell you right now.
We
I might be a little bit more on the faint side. Brown over God damn. God
no,
damn.
Man, I get it, man. You know, sorry. I get it. No you shame, know, no shame, no shame, bro. No shame. Yeah. No shame. I just wanted to know. Just, you know, did you get it?
On that note, so Ken, when you won your election last night, tell me what you did to celebrate. Did you hop some wine? What'd you do?
Well, so I'm an introvert with I'm an extrovert with introvert tendencies. My wife is an introvert with extrovert tendencies. Mm-hmm. So the idea of having my face all around town, my wife asked me, "How does that make you feel to see yourself while you're driving?" And mm-hmm. the inner narcissist in me was like, shouldn't everybody feel happy to see that? No. It wasn't a weird feeling. It just was a feeling of love, knowing that so many people would, one, donate to support, three, allow me to put my sign in their yard and show that they love and support me and that they're on my side. So it was a heartwarming situation to do that. And to go and talk to people about the campaign was easy for me to do because I had that heartwarming sense in that. And to talk and engage with others and hear their issues and try to bring their issues to the forefront and state that I'll be the person to champion their needs, their desires, and their interests made it easy to do all of that. What is difficult, though, for me is to celebrate my success because then it's about me. Mm-hmm. And in the campaign that I was doing for Optech and DSCC, it wasn't necessarily about me. It's about putting myself out there. And if the people choose for me to be in those positions, mm-hmm. that I would be willing to serve in those capacities that they choose me for. So that was about them, the people, Democratic Party, Louisiana, society as a whole. Celebrating, popping champagne is about me. And that's difficult. Mm-hmm. So my wife was like, well, what do you want to do today? And she knows I love crawfish. So she got me a gift card to go to the crawfish cook-off. Mm. Didn't want to do that. You know what I did?
What you did?
I went to a park. I just walked around the park all day from 10 to about 4 because what I did not want to do is I didn't want to be around a whole bunch of people talking about what I've done or what I was hoping for myself because it wasn't about me. And it also would give some anxiety. So I just stayed at the park all day. And even when I ran for student government at LSU, I wouldn't go to any party. I would just sit at home with my wife and my cats. And that's what I did. So when it got around 5 or 6, 7 o'clock, I was at home playing video games with no TV on. Once 8 o'clock hit, we started to check in and we watched. And we, as the results came in and as we saw that Councilman Green won the DSCC race, I reached out to him that moment and let him know my congratulations. He exchanged his desire for us to work together for the betterment of the party and the city. So that was great. And as the night continued on,
how many times you checked the Secretary of State website? I checked it a bunch of times.
It's not working right now, and I think I'm the problem.
I know the feeling, man. I texted him at like I think it was like almost 11 o'clock. Uh-huh. I said we got one more precinct left.
Uh-huh.
You should be fine because I checked the early vote count, uh-huh. and you were at like 15 out of 14. So yeah. You're probably gonna get the bump, you know, based on where you are on mm-hmm. the list, and that's what happened. It was like. I was like, happy. But thank yeah, I texted him. Yeah.
Thank you. Where I was on the list, having a last name with a Z or a V has to be terrible when you run for office, right? In a list like that. So being a B was great. Being a Barnes, my family's from Holly Grove, General Ogden. But the Barneses are also very deep in the Gentilly area. So mm-hmm. I was very happy about that. Well, happy about that setting for that race based on my name. But I knew that I didn't get a lot of my big signs out until the end of early voting. I didn't get a lot of my yard signs out until the end of early voting. A lot of the passing out of pamphlets and stuff that we had occurred later in early voting. Unfortunately, just with the time commitments I had and working this as my first campaign that I'm running myself, certain things didn't come together as early as may have wanted to, but I knew that I may have not shown up in the early vote, but I still had the opportunity to show up in the day of vote. Mm-hmm. So I did, after the amount of time, effort that's been put in, and I'm looking at the DSCC race, and I'm like, well, I'm down by 1,000. I don't know if I'm going to come up on 1,000 in this vote when it comes around. But looking at the OpDec, I'm like, and you being generous, I think I was number 17 at one point, and I'm looking.
Mm-mm. No, you was always 14 out of 14. I was watching. Oh, because he ran in D, and I ran in D before. Okay. Early vote, you was 15 out of 14.
Okay. Well, I was lower than I wanted to be.
No, you did good.
Because I was, you know,
it was your first campaign, and you ran in D, which is like one of the hardest districts to win in, and you did it.
D had the highest voter turnout. D also had the most people running. D was a beast. There was a lot of time, a lot of effort. I mean, from my wrestlers passing out the pamphlets to my friends that allowed me to ordain their house with my ugly mug, to my wife who never questioned what was going on but was always very supportive and there to assist. It was a lot of efforts that went into it. But if I had got 50 less votes, what was it, about 50 less votes, and I
like
would have
40, almost 40 something.
Would have been number 15 and left out. And
it was Ethan Ashley and Noonan Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Ethan. Okay, I know Ethan. Yeah.
Ethan's, I love Ethan. Love Noonan Man. Wish the best for him. And I'm very much.
He's a capper, but I mean, you know.
Well, we can't fault him. We can't fault him. He tries.
All the mistakes, you know.
If you're not first, you're last.
Absolutely. Just saying.
But
Ethan,
he's cool people. He's cool.
Before polls even closed, Ethan shot me a text and he congratulated me on the hard work that had been done. And I'm very much thankful to him. Noonan Man, Mr. Belden Baptiste, and I, along with Miss Annette, have had many of conversations. Noonie and Annette, I believe we were on the reboot, or we may have been on the voters organized ballot together. There was a couple of different ballots that went out. Mm-hmm. And for those who may not know, typically it is illegal to campaign within a certain distance to a polling location, but what a person can do is bring in a ballot. A ballot is going to be a sheet of paper which will list a number of people and titles for which those people are running for. And we have ballots that are created by politicians like the congressman, the president of the United States, the mayor, the governor, whoever, or political organizations, which may be like your BOLD or your voters organized to educate, your Reboot Blue, and all these others. Well, the Congressman Troy Carter produced a ballot, and they listed Eugene Green and Arthur Morrell. I'm sorry, Councilman Green and former clerical court Arthur Morrell as the people to vote for DSCC, and they listed a number of others for the OpDec. So the other ballots did not produce a physical one because Representative Carter sent those to people's mailbox. The other ones were not physical. So people were able to bring in those actual paper ballots and look at them and say, all right, these are the 14 names on this, and I'm going to pick those 14. Mm-hmm. While on the other ones, people have to go to their phone or try to remember. And we see that in this one, a lot of people, it looks and appears, resorted to those ballots. So not to be listed on that paper ballot and still come out with the as one of the 14 makes me feel tremendously loved, and I'm very much happy, and it's also, I'm humbled by the respect and trust that is instilled in me.
It's a win, brother.
It's a win, man. And look, I didn't pop champagne. I stopped drinking 121 days ago. So I've stopped drinking alcohol, coffee, and smoking hookah.
Oh, I ain't follow your footsteps.
I stopped hookah a couple years ago. When the last time? Whenever we went last time, that's when I stopped. Yeah.
Where'd y'all go?
Well, I don't know, because he goes.
Y'all look like y'all go to Haifa.
He's a
hookah. I go to Haifa.
Guy.
I go to Haifa.
That's our hookah guy.
Yeah, he's the hookah guy.
We've been to Haifa. We've been to Bianca.
And
I've never
been and there. 1525.
Yeah.
Oh, 1525 school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get back off on Lent, so I kind of know what you're going through. I mean, I miss it a little bit, but not that much. Mm-hmm. So is coffee hard to give up, or was it kind of easy?
Well, what it is that I've gotten my teeth whitened before, and I know how that feels. Mm-hmm. And that thought of wanting to have whiter teeth and what coffee. No.
Say, bro, that's the struggle right there, bro. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm doing that this year. And I drink coffee regularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have my cup at work.
Mm-hmm.
That's just my coffee cup.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was just. But it's like when you want the white smile.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you do to, when you first wake up in the morning, to energize yourself? Like, what do you, you have a regimen that you do?
Well, first of all, I just try to, and giving up the coffee, the alcohol, and the hookah, I think that automatically energized me because staying up at a hookah spot all night or taking in that carbon monoxide kind of made me feel drowsy itself. I think alcohol had that effect on me as well. So that kind of energized me. But things that I take now for energy would be yerba mate is a tea. Mm. Or I'll drink a matcha. That'll get me going. You don't want matcha? You don't like green?
I don't like it, bro.
It look green? You don't like that?
I don't like the taste. I've tried it.
Have you tried it with the, lavender honey?
See all that right there?
Mm-mm. Too much?
Stanky. It's too much going on. I'm very much, my grandfather on my mother's side was, my mother's family's from Kentucky.
Okay.
He drank his coffee black with two sugars.
Okay.
So I'm simple.
Mm-hmm.
I like black coffee, medium roast, a little bit of cream. That's it. No sugar, no none of that.
Mm-hmm.
So all that extra stuff, like all cinnamon and that. No, don't need none of that.
That's crazy.
So what made you want to run for both?
Yeah.
DSCC and OPDEC.
Well, before I get into that, what OPDEC is the Orleans Parish Democratic Executive Committee, which is just New Orleans' way of saying the Democratic Political Executive Committee, a Democratic Party Executive Committee, my apologies. They call it OPDEC, it's just DPEC, but it's Orleans' version of
it.
Then you have DSCC, which is the Democratic State Central Committee. OPDEC is going to be the committee that chooses the policies and procedures and the candidates, endorses the candidates that they believe would be the best for Orleans Parish. And each Democrat DPEC would pick the same things for their parish and their municipalities. Now, DSCC is going to be the statewide or the state branch of it. They pick the party chair. They also pick will choose some of the party's positions and endorse the candidates for statewide positions. So I ran for both of those because, as we've seen, before we ever had a vote in the Louisiana for the Louisiana House of Representatives and Senate, there was a majority of Republicans that had been elected. That was before we even voted.
Right.
But yet we had put money in a race to go against Mandy Landry. Right. She at that she was a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Left the party and came back to the Democratic Party. She left to be independent because of what she found or believed to be issues with the party at that time. But we were spending money to go against her, but we weren't spending the same time and money to put up races in other parishes because there's so many races where they're able to win and have a majority because we're not even fielding a person. You can't tell me there's not one Democrat in some of these small towns.
Look, I lived in mid-northern Louisiana, Alexandria, Natchitoches, Shreveport.
Yep.
You know, even so far as being in West Monroe at one point, and, you know, not too far from Grambling and all these other spots.
Mm-hmm.
And it's red all over.
It's okay to be red, but man, put up a fight. Like,
but I'm saying it's you know, they a lot of them run unopposed.
Mm-hmm. So we got money and time and effort to put against someone who's going to caucus with the Democratic Party against somebody else that's a part of the Democratic Party. How about we focus on these other races? I already knew that Jeff Landry was coming in and would have a lot of ideas and policies that are going to be counter to my thought of what life should be in Louisiana and where the position for our state should be going. Additionally, I can't sit up here and complain about anything that's happening within this party if I'm not willing to put myself out there and actually be an advocate for the people and for the party. So it was I can't criticize Katie Bernhardt, who is the party chair currently. She lost her DSCC seat last night in her election. There will be an election for the new party chair coming up, but I can't criticize anything she's done. I can't criticize what's happening before her because the issues predate her in this position if I'm not willing to get in there. So I got in this race because what I want to see is that we do better fundraising here in New Orleans for the Democratic Party because whenever Sean Wilson, another Alpha brother, ran for governor, I didn't see signs I didn't see signs across the neighborhood. I didn't see a lot of shirts. There wasn't a groundswell of support. I went to some political parties, and the only people I saw there were the same people I see at every political party. Now, some would say, yeah, you got to have some of those. But we raise the money, and we can have more community-organized-centric events and get the community there, and they feel like they have a reason to go vote. We can win. Now, there was somebody that posted on Twitter today that there's more Democratic members in Louisiana than Republicans in Louisiana, right?
You mean registered Democrats?
Yes. But that ignores the fact that there's a lot of registered Democrats that vote in northern Louisiana who vote purely Republican.
Yeah.
But even with that being said, our numbers, our representation in that governor's race did not depict the amount of Democratic voters we have or Democratic registered people. So what we need to do is make sure we're touching those people and getting out to them. I find that a lot of times people say, oh, turnout's bad. We don't have high turnout and people don't vote. And that's a bad thing. No. That is an indication of a fact that this party is not giving people a reason to vote.
Yep, no motivation.
If I live in, let's say I live in Gentilly, and every time there's an election, there's a millage to rebuild and redo a school in Lakeview, or there's money to go and fix something uptown, or they're going to build a new trail system that takes people from Metairie to Covington and just goes through Lakeview. But at no point they're talking about what's going on in Gentilly or my mom's house uptown, right? Why am I going to go vote?
Right.
These people aren't speaking to me. They don't care about me. They aren't representing the things necessary to make my life better or make me feel like a part of this community. So I wanted to get in this race to make sure that we're actually talking to the people, we're representing what they want, and we're just getting the job done. We're making sure that the Republicans have to put up a dollar in every race that they're in and put up a good candidate and not just whoever they find off the back road.
Strong.
I like that. Got my vote.
A lot of them off the back roads, too, depending on where you go.
Yeah.
East Canada is saying, it's a very good point. A lot of these candidates in other places, when we look at state elections, they find the person they can manipulate and control, and that helps just solidify their power base. And it's a thing. We need to not necessarily do the same, but do the same just in a more economical and a better way that benefits the people you represent.
Well, yeah, I don't think anybody has monopoly on the right way to run politics, because the 50-state plan that Republicans have been doing has been working, and it's been disastrous to our politics, but doesn't mean that we can't have the same effort of making sure that we put up candidates in every race. I'm not just talking about every governorship, because they made sure that they're always for the House, the U.S. House and Senate, and the presidential, they're going to have somebody there. For the governorship, there's always going to be a Republican Democrat, Democratic member in all of them, right? But what about in those House races? But also, those House races don't just start because somebody woke up that day and said, let me go put my name in the hat. They sometimes started as city council members. They sometimes started as school board members, BSC members, members to different boards and committees that are politically aligned. And they've started as party chairs. They've started as members of the DPEC, OPDEC, DSCC, or the Republican equivalent, or leaders of their neighborhood associations. But the 50-state program that the Republicans have had has made sure that they are pushing out people to run for everything. And that's why you hear about these ban the books all the times, because they made a concerted effort to get Republicans in these races, and their ideas have been proliferated, and we see what that does. Now, if they're pushing to ban books on one side, and we're pushing to make sure that there's a livable wage which people can thrive upon, if we're pushing to make sure that we provide transit for those people who are working and living working inside New Orleans but can't afford to live it and live outside of it, we're not providing some type of way to bridge that gap in those meetings, then what's going on now is just demand the books, when we can have an equal voice if we put those people in there. And one comment I would like to make is that another reason why I ran is because New Orleans is turning more into a resort than a city. You go travel to Jamaica. How many people, or you travel to Dominican Republic, how many people that fix your food, give you your drinks, provide the entertainment, live in that resort? And that's what New Orleans has become, a resort. The people can't afford to live in the area for which they serve. they just get to travel into it. So we are still living in a third world situation because we aren't providing the means to make sure the people that are building the culture, the entertainment, and the reason why people travel can actually live in the proximity to what they're providing.
I love it. But I did want to ask you, bro, you've gone to LSU several times to talk about the bias you face being an attorney, the prejudice you faced. I'm kind of curious, man, what did you actually go through as a young attorney coming up in the game?
Did you read about something before we had this?
I do read research of people. So yeah.
He's very thorough.
Yeah.
This is hilarious. So whenever I was president of LSU, the first year president, our job was to plan the Halloween party. That was one of the duties we had. And prior to that, I was a party promoter in a past life. My company was called Nightcrawler. So if you notice, I had Nightcrawler, I had Gambit, I had Bishop. So all
X-Men
of
them. Fan. All right.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
So I like Wolverine, but I can't name anything that because I think of myself as a short and scrappy one. So. So I had a party promotion company. So when it came time to book the Halloween party, I'm like, bet I got this. So mm-hmm. We did the Halloween party and my costume. Then at that time, we did not know what was going on. This was a long time ago. We went as the Huxtables.
Okay.
It was okay. 2012.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I was a doctor. She was a lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We did not know. It was she was my fiance at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just bring that up in case any pictures come up. I'm not hiding from it. We did not know. Also, like in elementary school, they had singing R. Kelly. We did not know.
Oh, yeah, I Believe I Can Fly.
Yeah. That was like my elementary school graduation song. Yeah. I don't even know if I could watch my video anymore now. Mm-hmm. So
just mute that part.
Yeah, mute it. So I'm planning the party, and we have the party, and I'm dressed as that character, and my vice president is dressed as Katniss Everdeen. He was a muscly, swole guy dressed as Katniss Everdeen.
That's hilarious.
And he had a quiver. Katniss Everdeen from The Hunger Games was an archer. He had a quiver, and inside the quiver wasn't a fake arrow. It was a real barbed arrow.
Mm.
But he had put one strip of duct tape over it so it was safe.
Mm.
So this guy comes out, another large fellow, and he's dressed as a cheerleader, a cheerleader with a skirt.
Mm.
And so he comes through, and he's drunkenly, and I'm talking to the class. I'm like, board. I'm like, hey, raise a lot of money. This is what we can do. Go ahead and situate like this. Because, again, I've done parties. Don't leave the money in the building to the end of the night. Somebody going to try to take it.
Right.
Let's put some of this away before we get into an issue. So I'm talking to him. Dude comes through, bumps into us. And then takes an arrow out my vice president's quiver. And I said, hey, chill out before you hurt somebody. And he's like, rah, rah, rah. I said, nah, chill out before you hurt somebody. He turns, throws the arrow, and the sharp end hits me in my leg right above my knee. And I start to get very upset at this point. Mm-hmm. I say, chill out. Mm-hmm. You're going to hurt somebody or hurt yourself. So then he tries to run towards me. His friends stop him. And I just stopped there. I said, hey, look, man, chill. So then he didn't like that. I told him to chill. So he breaks loose, runs, throws a right hook over, hits me in my head. And I'm like, oh, okay. So
we scrapping.
Oh, man, it just clicked off. And I wrestled at LSU. I wrestled in high school. I was a champion of Baton Rouge 2 times in 2 different weight classes. And I used to wrestle people bigger than me. And I got my
took them down.
I got beat up once. And that's because I ran from that fight. I ain't never got beat up after that. I ain't running anymore. So I pick him up. We complete everything. He gets up. And his friends are now at this point trying to move him away. And he said, well, F you, N-word. You sweaty, N-word. F you. I said, bro, just take your L.
Right, just walk on.
And go home.
You ain't got to be salty about it. You just.
Now, look, I went to a predominantly white high school. They had, some of them had Confederate flags on our last days of school. It can turn left real fast, and just because I'm standing up for what's right, I could be right, I could be dead right, and I could really make it a point that night, end up in a tree. I could continue to deal with them on another point. That's not me running from a situation. That's just me knowing that I am in Tigerland.
Yeah.
I am talking to a guy who's with his friends. And the only person I'm with is my wife.
Right.
And my duty is to my fiance at this time, my only duty is to protect her.
Right.
And I don't want to put her in a precarious situation beyond what that was already. So I go to the school. The school, I deal with the fact that I want to report it. But people are like, well, Ken, you should report it because he got in a fight with other people. He hit a girl. He peed on a bar once. And, you know, nobody ever reports it because nobody wants to be a bad person. And I'm still younger in mind at that time. So I'm like, I'm not about to rat. I'm not going to say nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, you hitting women? Nah, this you got to get them out of here.
Right.
So I go to report it. We go to the school meeting for the it's kind of like a Supreme Court for the students where they decide what's going on. And they said, well, Mr. Barnes, it seems like your vice president doesn't want to participate because he doesn't want to get involved in the negativity that this may bring.
Yeah, okay.
And so he doesn't want to get involved. So it's just your word against the other guy. And the other guy has friends, and some of his friends are here talking about how good of a person he is. And he has some black people saying, oh, he's a good person. He's never done nothing to us. So it's just your word versus his, and he has his friends as character witnesses, and the other people didn't report the other one, so it's one to one. So I'm reading the writing on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Is that now they're turning to say, oh, maybe I started it.
Yeah.
Which, no, I didn't.
Right.
A lot of people at the school were upset about that because they were like, oh, well, you know, you shouldn't report to him. And I'm like, no, he called me a racial slur, right? And he attacked me, but I'm the problem. So it went on that nothing happened. The school sent out emails saying we don't like the use of the N-word. Kid was not suspended or nothing. At all. So then the next year, I mean, I kind of wanted, the 3-0 year, we had, I'm the president now. This is my third year. There's other students who are being called the F word for their sexual orientation.
Mm-hmm.
Women presenting, being called derogatory words towards women. People who have been victims of gun violence, having other students making clicking sounds as if they have guns and playing those over YouTube in the classroom to bother other people. All this predatory activity. So I was contacted by the school newspaper and I decided to share my story about what happened. And I thought it was, since it happened to me as the president of the school, these other people are not as president of my class, these other people are not. And I had the protections of knowing a lot of the law professors who looked out for me, who were my mentors, who were basically my umbrellas in those showers. And they protected me. And those other students may not feel the comfort to go to those people and get that level of protection. I wanted them to know that they were not by themselves in those situations. Right. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared what happened. And you know what happened?
What's that?
Take a guess. Well, at this point, it goes in the newspaper. The then dean of the school, Dean Weiss, comes out and says, well, Mr. Barnes didn't fully accurately depict what occurred because he just said the incident that occurred and this and that. And he sent that out in the newspaper and an email. And his critique that I got wrong was that I did not share that the school sent an email saying that they disagree with the use of the word. I said an email. That email? We talking about emails? So at this point, the rest of the faculty there, a major contingency of them wrote a letter in opposition to Dean Weiss. Dean Weiss at that point was replaced soon after with the interim. And there were letters written to the Texas Bar to inform them of that student's activities. That student is Zach Mosley. Zach Mosley, some of you may have seen on billboards and buses across the city. Or I want to say a Mosley McKinney or something, Mosley something. Well, Zach Mosley is an attorney that was working during Ida from Texas, hired a fresh out of law school attorney and said, this is a seasoned attorney in Louisiana handling cases and they'll be handling your roofing concerns and due to Hurricane Ida. And what they did was they hired a social media firm to get these different contracts. And they hired these roofers to get these different contracts. So if you had an issue with your roof and you contact your roofer, they would automatically go with Zach Mosley and his firm to represent you in your claim. And then would go and fight to get your money for your Ida claim. Which is wrong. because you hire your own attorney. You pick who you want to represent you. Right. You need to sign contracts. You need to sign that settlement agreement, and you need to get the disbursement. He was representing people who never even knew who he was. So he was getting these checks. And if you don't know who he is, how is he getting you to sign in? How is he depositing your money back to you?
Right.
So scam.
Scam. Those I did not finish that word. I just went by. But they have been, Zach Mosley has been disbarred. And there's probably lawsuits that are pending or have gone through. For the millions of dollars that he's been accused of misappropriating. He also, it's been stated that he owes millions of dollars to the social media firm who brought the people in, because for each person they brought in, there was an agreement that he would pay a certain amount, which, again, you can't pay referral fees. That is against the rules and code of ethics. Damn. So he did that allegedly, or I think a court may have found actually. He's been admonished and brought to task as a Texas attorney in Louisiana courts. There's been concerns about about his practices in Florida, Texas, Louisiana. I believe one of his partners, it was shared that they haven't been able to be found or the money that they're accused of having. So
he in Jamaica, basically. Mm. He took the money overseas.
Or the Everglades.
Yeah. One of the two, huh?
Yeah, look, I'm from Baton Rouge. This is New Orleans. There's a lot of similarities between the two. You can take $2,000 from somebody and you won't see the light of day. You owe millions? I hope you're in Costa Rica.
You know, they say crocodiles, you'll never find a crocodile's dinner because they hide it.
You been watching Roadhouse?
So it's a great movie.
Okay.
I'm not used to seeing swole, what's his name? Jake Conor Gyllenhaal. McGregor?
Oh, Conor McGregor.
Oh, I'm used to swole Jake Gyllenhaal, but Conor McGregor put on some weight for that.
Yeah, he's moving up a class for a fight.
Is he?
Yeah, he's fighting at a higher weight class.
Okay, I was like, man.
Yeah, now he's big as hell.
He's
like
Kid Boo on steroids.
But, Kid Boo. Shout out to Kid Boo.
Yeah, shout out to Kid Boo.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, he put on some significant weight, not for the movie, but I believe he's moving up weight classes.
Yeah, half the weight is those veneers.
He got punched in the mouth a few times.
This man got all front teeth.
They white though. Yeah. They white though.
Terrible. So what year was that anyway? This whole situation that happened. What year was that?
Like which month?
The fight. Yeah.
Oh yeah. For context, again, we did not know about the Cosby situation. Humble Beer Tate not yet gone on stage.
This was pre-Me Too.
Yes, pre-Me. This is before Humble Beer went on stage, which I think I met Humble that year.
Okay.
Went on stage, and then called out and as we look back in hindsight, Bill Cosby was talking about Spanish Fly. He was talking the episode with his kids eating his barbecue sauce. He was making a barbecue. They were fighting. He made a barbecue sauce and everybody fell in love. And he was like, oh, you never notice when I make my sauce how it makes people act? He did not realize it. But this was back in, so I started law school in 2012. That would have been October 2012. It would have been so it should have been sometime about October 27th or so.
The reason why I asked is because, again, doing my research, the GOAT of the NBA, LeBron James, made a tweet to protect
the current GOAT.
The current GOAT.
Oh, okay, I was about to say.
Protect our men and women.
Yeah.
And a certain guy made a comment under that tweet saying, eat a dick. You reposted it.
Yeah, so what occurred was, at that point, it was the Black Lives Matter movement going on, and there was a lot of angst going against black women, black men, black trans folks, black identifying people. Just everybody was getting some type of hate. But we were really focused on what was going on against black people, because very often these issues and atrocities have been going on. The attention hasn't been there. It's been a lot of just shut up and just get over it. While atrocities that happen contemporaneous with those plights or even before are treated and validated as true and something that we should pay attention and address, but forget about the blacks. So LeBron James made a post identifying issues occurring in the black community. A person who was linked to owning a PJ's Coffee here in New Orleans, and I believe the one that they were owning was the one in the French Quarter near Jackson Square, said, eat a dick.
Well, eat an eggplant, but we knew what he meant, though.
eggplants at that point in time were colloquially referred to.
Still are.
Ain't nothing changed. It's still a dick emoji. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, you know, just, it is what it is.
And my apologies for my language if that upsets anyone. But I am just recitating what occurred. Mm-hmm. So he said that I just reposted it. Mm-hmm. I gave no commentary. I didn't say this is right, this is wrong. But these are your words, you're commenting on literally the second most famous, third most famous person in the world, I would probably say, is Taylor Swift, Beyonce, LeBron James.
Barack Obama's number one.
Obama?
Mm-hmm. He's the most admired man.
I agree with that.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Four.
Yeah. I mean, he's top ten.
He's top
based
five.
On where you put your scale at.
Top five.
Who are you going to put at five?
The Rock?
Famous people in the world?
Maybe. Mm-hmm.
The Rock. I could give you top ten Rock. Dwayne The Rock Johnson, not just a Rock.
Yeah. I mean, if we're talking about top ten famous people in the world, right? Mm-hmm. Taylor and Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
The Obamas.
Huh?
The Obamas.
The Obamas. Mm-hmm. So we're going to collectively put them as one.
All right. I could collectively put them at one.
Yeah, just, no, I mean, just one person. Just mm-hmm. not taking up one space, okay. rather.
Snoop.
Usher.
Snoop.
Mm-hmm. Snoop. I'd definitely put Snoop up there.
I would put Snoop up there. Drake. Fame.
He's just famous here.
I hate to say it, but the Kardashians. Technically.
Oh, no, you ain't got to hate it. I mean look, they popular. Yeah. I think Bruno Mars got to be like low-key popular, too. That man went to Japan and got nothing but love.
Yeah. Shaq.
He need money, though.
Shaq, yeah.
Yeah, what, $5 million?
No, because MGM said, nah, he good with us.
$50 million.
MGM said, nah, he don't.
How you rack up $50 million in debt?
Ask Jordan. MGM.
Too soon, bro. Too soon.
But MGM did put out a statement saying, nah, Bruno good with us.
Because they paying him $90 a year.
Yeah. So
we just going to take our cheese off the top.
So if he's being paid $90 a year, he owes $50.
He still got 40.
That's 40 good. Over.
Yeah.
Minus taxes.
Kirk will still walk out with 15, 20 mil when it's all said and done.
If he's paid 90 and he owes 50, I mean, he's racked up 140 because he exceeded the 90 mm-hmm. by 50.
True.
This man's into next year's tax
bracket. Yeah, cutting the next year money. Mm-hmm. That's tough.
So at this time, back to the eggplant fiasco. Yeah. I share it. I don't comment on it because I think... Maybe I'm naive, but I think sometimes things occur and we don't always have to point and say, this is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can all look at this sofa and say that it's brown and we can look at it. And I could say, look at the sofa. I don't need to say it's brown
right. And
it's some patina in it and it's lighter in these areas and the stitching like this. You see it's a brown sofa. You see how it changes colors. I don't have to point that out. So whenever someone's calling out racism in this world and someone else is telling them to shut up, that is obvious that it's a commentary that you don't want to hear about it and you don't want to discuss the issues going on with this community, a community that drinks coffee, that you serve, that you're in.
Right.
New Orleans is predominantly black, or was, if my demographics.
It's still predominantly black for the moment.
Yeah.
It's going to always be black. It's a chocolate city as a...
So Ray Nagin.
Shout out to Ray Nagin. He just finished his probation.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
So... You serve this community, but you're making comments that are antithesis to them. So I just shared it. And then a lot of people start sharing it. A lot of people got upset. He got upset, and he told me I better watch my back.
Oh, wow. owner of PJ's, right?
Yeah.
Have y'all had PJ's coffee?
Hmm?
Have y'all had PJ's coffee?
I don't.
I mean, years ago, but I mean, not frequent. But.
And you know, and there's a guy named Bruno. Last name Bruno. Now it's not all PJs because
they're franchise.
Yeah.
Stephanie and
I try to go to the one in the east, but y'all close at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Just to put that out there.
By UNO?
No. By on late.
By Popeyes.
No, by Waffle House. I think it's
one. Popeyes.
Oh yeah, it's by the Popeyes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's black people. There's anti-racist, mm-hmm. non-racist. There are people who own PJs. So this wasn't a contempt for the whole company, just commentary on this specific person. That person's brother and I spoke after that. We're all good. I don't hold that his comments to be a commentary on behalf of his whole family, nor do I hold it to be a commentary against the whole PJs. But I think if you're going to be bold enough to post something on the social media of top five most popular recognized people on earth publicly. And then, bro, you just got to deal with the fact that you said something stupid. You got to live with it.
I mean, it goes back to the belief about free speech. Speech is free, but you are not free from the consequences of whatever it is that you may say.
You got to be held accountable.
Right.
So, yeah. I mean, I doubt that was the only thing because LeBron was also told to shut up and dribble and all these other things that did happen as well. So
yeah, it's funny how LeBron is told to shut up and dribble and we don't want to hear that. We just want you to play basketball, or Taylor Swift, don't get out here and tell people to vote because you're just an entertainer. You shouldn't be involved. But yet we have Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, Rob Snyder. Is whenever these people are willing to come out against marginalized communities, here's your platform and here's your microphone. But whenever it's a person who's coming from those communities or want to represent those communities, it's like, mm-mm. But we see that power struggle in many other things. I mean, even when, not to take it too far back, but Martin Luther King was killed. Yeah, he was talking about nonviolence and fixing issues in the black community for a long time. But it was when he really tried to unite the marginalized groups together with the protest for the United Trash Workers, that's when he was assassinated.
Yeah.
And a lot of times, the combination of marginalized groups to work for equality and equity is what gets the most amount of hate and demands of silence.
That's what I mean.
Profound. Were you listening to that statement?
I was listening, yes. Jesus Christ.
He's looking for his next question.
Yeah. Look, I thought he had a follow-up ready. I was like...
Oh, right. No, I'm just... I was like kind of surprised with the whole story, man. Just, it made a big deal. WLTV reached out to you.
Yeah.
That was just kind of wild.
Yeah, WWLTV reached out to me. That was my start of my appearances on WWLTV. I've been on WWL, I want to say about 7-8 times now. I've had other invitations. Sometimes it just hasn't worked out or been the best story for me to comment on, or they contact me, I'm in trial prep or something of the sort, and I haven't been able to get to the set or the availability. But WWLTV covered it, and I think they did a great job of highlighting that. I've been able to go on WWLTV and discuss other matters. Most recently, I've been on there discussing the Fritchie case where the lady lost her arm during the carjacking and those children being charged as adults. I've also been on WWL-TV, WDSU, discussing the Topgolf development in Uptown New Orleans. Okay. That's a case that I am the attorney on behalf of the Warehouse Cafe, which has sued the Topgolf facility. I'm sorry, which has sued the Convention Center, which is a state entity, along with River District Neighborhood Investors and
RDNI.
Initially, it was just a convention center that was sued. RDNI came on as interveners, and then Topgolf came in as interveners. And the issue with this matter is that the convention center owns the plots of property around where the convention center is. This is going to be in the Uptown area, Lower Garden District, right off not Melpomene. Or Melpomene. Now, the thing about it is, I did an interview on the radio recently. I said Melpomene, right? Because we got people who aren't from here. Mm-hmm. Some people read, you know, Greek literature, and they're reading the Calliope. And
you know, I had, and so this is completely deviation, yeah, but in this moment, I had someone correct me on the pronunciation of Telemachus.
Huh?
To what?
To what?
We have a street.
Telemachus.
It's where is Telemachus.
It? Mm-hmm. Telemachus, what?
It's uptown.
Okay. No.
It's Telemachus.
Spell it. Use it in a sentence for me.
It's the name of a person in ancient Greek literature.
I don't know nothing about that.
I know. I do. I read it. Person's name is Telemachus.
I can't read life.
Everybody say Telemachus.
Mm-hmm. I just know Alpha. That's all I know.
I was.
That's all I know.
I was driving Lyft, picked the person up. Oh, you're going to Telemachus. What's that? The street name. Oh, you mean Telemachus. Now, see, that's not what it is. But I just had to nod my head and say, okay. I'm continue with your story. That is just a thing.
I find that whenever you look at a street name in New Orleans, just think about it for a second. Wherever you're at, just go with the other thought. I'm not gonna do it like that. I was about to tell a story about somebody I know very dear in my life saying, Calliope.
Oh.
Telemachus.
I was like, baby, that's Callio.
That's Callio. That is Callio.
At least you said Calliope, I could be like, yeah, you're listening to the Greeks. I would have said
Telemachus. That's what it looked like.
Spell it.
Telemachus.
Okay, sure. All right.
Telemachus.
All right.
So with this is that they own a plot of land. This plot of land was initially shared with the community to be used as a low-income housing location. So that was for one plot, but there's an additional 7 plots on top of that where now we know that the Shell facility will be hoping to move. Not facility, the building. Mm-hmm. This is going to be office, not actual refinery or any drilling of any sort like that is what's shared. Well, Topgolf wanted to be there initially. The governor came through, killed that deal. Then Topgolf was going to go where the Times Picayune building was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we remember that. And then that didn't go through, and there's another golf-like facility that's going to be there that's building there currently, 504 Golf. So then Topgolf is saying, we're going to go to the convention center, and we're going to be right there on the side of Chapultepec where the neighborhood is. Well, again, this was sold to the community as being low-income housing, not Topgolf. Right. So at this point, I'm contracted by my client, and our arguments have been that this lease and sale or opportunity for sale of this property is against the Louisiana Constitution. Louisiana Constitution forbids any sale or exchange of property from a state entity to a non-state entity for below fair market value, right? Or to donate or alienate. That's the donative alienation is the wordage that's used. We know from the case of Gonzalez versus Cabela's that when we deal with a donation, it's for anything below fair market value. So back to how this issue came about. Well, Topgolf, the convention center is leasing to River District Neighborhood Investors, RDNI, for $811,000 annually to rent this plot of land. And we know this is below fair market value because whenever we look at the appraisals for the land, we see that for annually to lease is about 1.5 or 1.6. That's what the two appraisals say. So they're getting it nearly half. So we know that's below fair market value,
right. Mm-hmm.
Because we can determine fair market value by appraisals because they are finding the fair market value for this property, for this use, and they're also taking into consideration that it hasn't been used, the location, the street, the neighborhood, all of right. that. So any factors, someone saying, oh, well, taxes hadn't been paid on this before, so that's why they're paying so little. Well, that was taken into consideration in the appraisal. But we know it's also taken into consideration by other people who may want it because Topgolf, the same day that lease was signed a lease with RDNI, so from the convention center to RDNI for $811,000. Topgolf signs the lease between them and RDNI for $1.5. That's $700,000 a year. Additionally, that RDNI is profiting just by being the person who signed the contract first to allow Topgolf to get in the place with the governor previously said, the governor, Governor John Bel Edwards previously said no. So they're able to circumvent that in that way. Additionally, this lease is a 99-year lease. Inside this lease, they have the ability to purchase this property for $15 million, and the property is valued at $32. And they can buy at any point of the lease. And we know what property value is doing right now. It ain't going down. It ain't staying still. So in 20, 30 years, they can still buy property that they could get today for half the value for probably about a tenth of the value if property values continue to move and trail in the same direction. And this would be against what we believe would be the Cabela's test. Now, we filed a temporary restraining order. It went before Judge Reese in the New Orleans Civil Court. And what they found was that this, they believe that the statute of limitations had ran. And they're saying that the statute of limitations ran because in the time that the agreement was signed, the master agreement, and the time that the TRO was filed, that too much time had happened between the two. But remember, the master agreement didn't include Topgolf in it. It just was saying that they would contract with RD and I. We also didn't know the lease amounts that would be between RD and I and the convention center to know that it was below fair market value. But when it comes to constitutional issues, the Code of Civil Procedure has found and states that, well, it states, it doesn't find things. It states that when it comes to constitutional issues, there's no statute of limitation. We call that prescription, the statute of limitations in Louisiana. There's no prescriptive period. It can be brought up at any point. So we shouldn't be looking for the period of time that has elapsed, because we can bring it at any time. But additionally, the rationale that the other side was resting on was dealing with a public bids law. So let's say me and Jay say we're going to bid on washing your car, right? Well, we saying the same services, but Jay says he's going to offer it for a dollar. He's going to offer it to do it, you know, $10 less, and he's able to do that because he's now giving you some backroom deal on the side to make up some other money on the other part portion of it. Then I can bring up that, hey, he's violated public bids law in a certain type of way because there's some illegality in the background going on. And I would know illegality is going on at the point that you award him the contract at that moment, because I know I didn't get it, right?
Right.
My client isn't a bidder. He's a citizen. He's suing as a citizen the LLC is suing as a citizen under the fact that it's violated the Louisiana Constitution. So even if Marlon is not bidding and he notices that, well, you as a state entity cannot be contracting with them like this. You didn't do the right RFP, or you didn't go through the right process. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not dealing with public bid issues. He's dealing with constitutional issues if his issues are arising from that. So it seems that they've tried to couch it in another situation to find a prescriptive period. So we've appealed that. It's gone up to the Fourth Circuit. We believe that will be successful, and then they'll be hopefully sent back down to the lower court for a rehearing on those matters, because it was dismissed on the prescriptive period without actually having the merits discussed, the fact that we believe that it's far below fair market value.
Right. So if they just did it at fair market value,
that'd be one concern that would be addressed, right? Convention Center said, all right, tear up this contract. We're leasing it to RD&I for, they may be able to get, we'll do it at what fair market value is, 1.5, 1.6, right? And then Topgolf, y'all pay whatever y'all need to RD&I and make it happen. That'll deal with the constitutional issue. Other issues that have come up, and these aren't necessarily issues of my client, but other issues that have been brought up by the Neighborhood Association have been the netting. What happens to the netting when a hurricane comes, how much light's going to come, the pollution of noise, the fact that you're putting the Topgolf on that side of Chapultepec, but you're going to put a grocery store and housing on the side closest to the river, and now people have to cross over this busy road because they're concerned, well, we put the Topgolf over there, then people are going to have to cross Chapultepec. They may get hit. Yeah. It's like, but you're going to put apartments and a grocery store over there? What about the people who live in the neighborhood who want to go to the grocery store, or the people that live in those housing that want to come into the community for which they're in? You're not worried about them getting hit?
Right.
They also want to shut down, what street is that? It might be Melpomene. I would say Melpomene, but I was told there's an F in there.
It's a PH, actually. I know.
Hey, look, I'm cool with it. But, like, look, if I'm up here talking about how we're being swindled from $700,000 annually, and we may be missing out on millions of dollars while we have all these potholes, our schools are not producing the best for our students, and you're worried about me saying the F at Melpomene, we're not focused on the right things.
We're
the
not. Melf.
But, look, I got number love for the Melf. And, you know, everybody come out the Melf. I mean, you got number love for those people. But they want to shut down a portion of the street. And that's an issue because people use streets. Also, you're rerouting these routes. A lot of 18-wheelers and box trucks come through those areas.
Yep.
That area right there, but it's between the port and the interstate to go towards the rest of eastern United States, right? Right.
Yep.
So you're now trying to shut down a street there. Also, you're within a certain amount of feet of a federal interstate. And you can't go to just changing streets because you decided to. There's a whole process through DOTD. So to answer your question, that would address one concern. That's a concern that myself and my clients are bringing. The Bucket Brigade have brought issues with, I'm sorry, I can't remember their lawsuit exactly, but I know some people have brought up issues with the fact that there's no design for the public housing yet. And we're more than a year into this, and we're into this litigation, and you're saying the Topgolf is necessary for the public housing, but yet you haven't even shown us what the public housing looks like or what you will do if the public housing isn't built. Like, where are the repercussions for the fact that there will be tax credits because there's a pilot, a payment in lieu of taxes for the Shell location, or anything with the fact of if the Topgolf isn't built, what about the public housing? If the are we still going to get that? If the public housing isn't built, where are the repercussions that we can take because we've been promised this? And New Orleanians and Louisianians constantly deal with this issue. We should have the best education in America, and I can tell you why. Because we have Horizon. You know what Horizon is?
Mm-mm.
Right there, that casino.
But <Ba-dum.
laughs> I had
Horizon. I looked at thought about Harris too.
You know, like, it crossed my, it crossed the front God of my brain, it. But I was like, maybe I misheard.
I said the same thing. Like, I think Harris, but
well,
continue.
Before the Caesars Superdome was a thing, and Caesars. Casino was a thing. There's a thing called Harrah's or Harrah's Casino. Casino.
Casino.
Harrah's, yes.
Casino.
Harrah's.
I'm playing around. I'll say casino. Like, it's a lady casino.
Yeah.
Harrah's Casino was there. And in Louisiana, we had a preclusion against any land-based gambling facilities to be built. Everybody knows this, right?
Yes.
So, this is why the Belle of Baton Rouge is on water. This is why the Hollywood in Baton Rouge is on water. This is why La Berge is all the way out there in the sticks, and you got to walk across this long walkway because La Berge is on water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Harrah's is in the middle of downtown New Orleans. How do you get that there?
Money.
Well, they got there because they promised that the money and the taxes that were raised would go to the public education in Louisiana and New Orleans as a whole. And we see why we lead the nation in education.
Yes.
We lead the nation in the reduction of child crime.
Mm-hmm.
After school programs.
Number one.
You know. No. And we keep being
that
promised.
Was sarcasm, people, for the ones that didn't catch it. You know, because look,
Jesus.
Like hurrahs. That was it went over your head.
Yes.
That was sarcasm. Because we don't lead in those things. Just to point that out.
Mm. Thank God for Mississippi.
You know.
Oh, you're not from Mississippi, huh?
No.
Okay.
My bad. That was
disrespectful. My bad.
No, it wasn't.
It was
factual. It was factual. Mississippi leads in being the worst and all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
We're not far behind, though. We're trailing fast.
We're Mississippi with Mardi Gras in New Orleans. That's it. But for the food and this bastion of progressive ideas that live in this area, additionally Baton Rouge and Shreveport, Lake Charles, sometimes Lafayette can be. We would be right there with it, but we have some valiant warriors. Let me not say warriors, because a lot of people use war and fighting euphemisms, and I don't want to add to that energy. But we have a lot of people who are really championing education without the support of the state, because we are promised that this money will go to these facilities for these students, for these people, and yet they're not going, and we just act like it's normal. Nobody's raised the issue, batted an eye, they just move along, and the right people are concerned that, well, what happens if this Topgolf situation is the same? We're told that we're going to get public housing. We're always told we're going to get public housing. Public housing is so difficult to do.
Affordable.
Not public, because New Orleans does not have public housing. Affordable housing. We're going to do affordable housing. Affordable housing is so difficult to do. We can't raise the funds for it. There's no money for it. And we need to have these other projects to coincide with them to occur. And then when it doesn't, I mean, where's the recourse? So, yeah, that's one lawsuit, and that's where I've been on the news for more recently and more often.
So I need a lawyer. I'm going to call you.
No matter what jam you're in, call Ken. personal injury.
My last name, man, I got to ask you this question.
No, I want to be here for the rest of the day.
I'll give you some names here. We got Drake, Benjamin Crump, Stevie Wonder, Michael Eric Dyson, J. Cole, Common, John Lewis, and Brandy. You met them all. Which one meant most to you?
Oh, my. Well, all right, just to speed run, it was my first time in D.C., I want to say. I went with my wife for a convention or something, and we came back in. This guy with braids that braids that began in the middle of back of his head. I believe he stopped and stared at my wife. I had to walk up on him. He's a little bit. Steve Wonder is not a small guy.
No, how tall is like about?
Talking about. Y'all missed it. He said he stopped.
I heard exactly what he said.
That on my head.
I chose
to ignore. And just focus on the fact that he said the man stared and looked at his wife.
With glasses on. Sunglasses. You know what? See his eyes.
I went with that versus where his brain started.
Y'all think Steve won the blind?
He then went back in time and made that song. Isn't she love? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry for your ears. Met him. That was amazing because and as you could tell, I wasn't dressed for it. I was some workout gear. That was cool. I met J. Cole in the same airport, which Jermaine. Was dope too. And then he came to LSU and was playing football one day, and I met him there. That was dope. Drake, I had worked with my friend Vince, had a concert here where Drake came in town. This was when I was a Drake fan. I'm no longer a Drake fan. I feel like he needs therapy at this point.
Damn.
Also, stop texting young ladies.
Or DMing. Yeah.
Hands on your knees. Hands on your knees.
It is a very catchy song.
The gospel version.
Can you finish it?
I'm not about to.
We'll get in trouble.
What should inhale and exhale?
Hold on, what?
Sarcasm.
He said, let something breathe.
Yeah. I'm not about to do that.
Something all cat owners are familiar with.
Yes. Yes.
So Drake was dope. I ended up in the VIP area. Lil Twist was back there and all of other Drake people. And then Tunchi, they was like, Tunchi coming. I was like, what is Tunchi? Is that an anime character? And this was right before everybody started calling him Tunchi.
Michael Carter Jr.
Yeah, Lil Wayne. And then he had on this Neiman Marcus shirt. And I was dumb. I didn't know anything about high fashion or nothing. So I tried to type in Neiman Marcus, and I'm misspelling stuff on the Twitter and the Instagrams. So that was dope. I didn't get to meet Lil Wayne at that time. But I was in the room in the area with him and Baby. So that was cool. Being with John Lewis probably is one of the most powerful moments I've ever had. I mean, this guy has gone from being a civil rights fighter at way younger than we are today, right? I mean, leading the charge to being chosen by his people to lead and represent them and always to be an advocate and just it. We think about Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Marcus Garvey or Fred Hampton and all these other people as occurring in a period of time that is unattainable or unreachable for us, like it happened 200 years ago.
It didn't.
This dude was marching with Martin.
Right.
Yeah.
He's done so much. And just to be in the room with him, and I want to say I was doing something in student government at the time, so... I actually got to get back there in the back room with him and talk to him and the writer of the actual comic book that he was signing at the facilities, at LSU. So that was dope. That was the same place I met Michael Eric Dyson and what's his name? Mark Lamont Hill.
Hmm.
So they were great. Michael Eric Dyson.
Hmm? Is it Alpha Brother?
Yes, sir.
Who is?
Who?
Michael Eric Dyson?
No.
Mark Lamont Hill.
No, Mark Lamont Hill is a Kappa.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And who am I thinking about?
Michael Eric Dyson, though, I did tell him, hey, so when you going to become an alpha?
Oh.
And I still look forward to that happening.
We tell you, though, when you ask him that question.
Oh, he said, well, how about y'all invite me?
Yeah. Don't even then. That's a no then.
Yeah. So that was cool. I met Boosie. He almost hit me with a car once.
Oh, God.
The rapper.
Yeah.
Boosie.
Yeah.
Okay.
He almost hit me with a car with his charger. His brother's my friend now. So those were all great experiences. My favorite would probably be John Lewis. Just it's a powerful moment. It, you get no bigger.
It's a piece of history.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a person who is, in fact, a piece of history as well.
But, you know, I've also had some pieces of history that I really, that are of the same stature, but not revered the same in my heart. What's his name? Supreme Court Justice Thomas came to my law center and spoke when I was the president of the...
Clarence?
Yeah, Clarence Thomas. Mm. I was the first year president of LSU Law. He came and spoke to my class. My favorite professor of all time, Professor Raymond Diamond, was my criminal law professor at that time. He went to Yale. He graduated from Yale, and he happened to go and attend the school at the same time as Clarence Thomas. So he contacted Clarence Thomas. Clarence Thomas came and spoke to the class, and I took a photo with him. Now, of course, you know, everybody knew about the Anita Hill situation and his bad rulings, but still, at that point in time, it was like, oh, this is Supreme Court justice.
Right.
But now in the learning of his wife's involvement in the January 6th process,
mm-hmm.
and knowing how he has not taken the steps to recuse himself and in decisions that integrally impact and he has influence over, the fact that he constantly is on the side of rulings that I believe are detrimental to our community as Black people, mm-hmm. as people of color, and even communities that we're not involved, that we're not a part of.
Right.
Even if you're cisgender, and if you hate the use of the word cis, and I don't know, talk to somebody that knows Latin, right? If you adhere to the gender for which you were identified as at birth, and you're not trans or anything, you still have to understand that how some of these decisions impact those people,
right.
And how those impact can happen to you. And it doesn't have to relate back to you to matter, but if you need that to happen, which means that you probably have some issues with connecting empathy, you should realize how that can impact you, and you should have concern for that. If I can know that they can say racism no longer exists, so then we don't need to do anything about affirmative action at these schools, but don't do anything to address the issue of legacy and how racial disparities and in income and placement in society allow for these legacies to occur, and how Black people haven't had those opportunities, or Hispanic people haven't had those opportunities, or other races or other groups haven't had those, and you don't see how that maybe that may jump over to you as someone who is in the benefiting class, then you're just waiting on your day for those effects to happen to you. So I think some of his decisions and rulings and placements in history currently. Also, dude, you can't just go on trips with people who have cases in front of you. They can't buy your mom's house. They can't give you an RV. Like, I'm sorry. I worked at the Supreme Court.
What are friends for?
Felt triggered.
Go ahead. What are friends for?
Millions of dollars. Millions of dollars.
Stop committing crimes on tape and with people who talk too much.
That part.
So, you know, I would go to, as a Supreme Court spy, I'd be like, hey, can let's go to lunch. And they'd be like, it's my turn. And it's like, you're not buying me lunch.
Mm-mm.
But he buying an RV?
Yeah.
Also, yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. Keyword.
Allegedly.
I like that.
We got to protect this man because he's newly elected.
Absolutely, at all costs.
Yes.
My wife already said I need to update my Ring camera. She's like, hey, so this records, right? She's like, well, she said people are crazy. I said, okay. Yeah. I've been knowing that. But sometimes we meet people or we do things in places and we later realize the true nature of those people. And that doesn't mean that we're bad people, or it doesn't mean that they aren't accomplished, but it doesn't mean that we have to revere or hold them up. So, I mean, I think Justice Thomas is very accomplished. I mean, being Supreme Court justice is one of the top tier things, but the use of that accomplishment is a concern.
I mean, yeah, you can be accomplished and still be a shitty human being. They're not mutually exclusive.
This is true. Back to Bill Cosby.
Good old Bill.
Bill Cosby was about to buy NBC.
You know.
CBS or whatever.
Look. One of them networks, huh?
Look. Yeah.
So was Diddy.
Hey, man, too soon. We ain't talking about Diddy.
Yeah, well, I mean, if we're going to talk about Diddy, it's just...
Mm-mm.
You know, that's why I said.
You don't want a sniper to come hit you through the window?
That's why I said it's a big car to blow up. He just had to keep an eye on Diddy all the time.
That's hilarious, funny.
Yeah. And
topical.
Yeah. Where the car guy?
I don't want my car to blow up, so I'm not talking about Diddy.
Well, I mean, Diddy was, growing up, he was the type of person that our parents kind of like, were like, hey, he's a young black man. He doesn't be sagging his pants. He's successful. Be like him, kind of.
Take that.
And what does that mean?
Well, that's his thing.
No, I get that. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
You know what it means.
Questions should have been asked.
I think Diddy should want to say it right now.
Yeah. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Well, I will deviate from that in the sense that I think power, money, and all other things of that sort don't corrupt people. But what it does is it
exposes who they are.
Yeah. Just, it puts them on a megaphone. It if you're a bad person, you're going to be a bad person. But there's no matter amount of money that will make me start to force people to shave their head.
Yeah, I mean,
or do the absolute worst thing is that he did. That's just a PG thing that's terrible that he did.
Yeah. I mean,
you talking about the freak offs?
Yeah,
the what?
Drugging
freak offs. You didn't read the? You gotta read it, man.
I make it a point not to, because the world is negative enough. I've been through enough crises in my life that are public knowledge that I don't need any more details.
This man had freak offs,
and he was drugging people.
Yeah,
and forcing people that were drugged to be sexually assaulted by others.
Mm-hmm.
Is this all allegedly still, or is it actually like
all comments about P. Diddy are alleged until proven in court at this point. My commentary is not to say factually that he has done these things, but the accusations that have pervaded the public zeitgeist have led me to share these commentary at this time.
All right. That part, I like it.
It's a lot of detail on the things.
Yeah, a lot of detail. No. There's a photo of Cuba Gooding Jr. and his producer who is suing him for sexual assault.
Cuba too.
Yeah,
Cuba's a wild boy.
I know Cuba get out of pocket. I'm glad his brother don't really get out of pocket. I enjoy Omar. Omar is funny.
Omar, he was on Disney. Then he jumped.
Smart guy.
Then he jumped in, did Baby. He did a good job in Baby to me.
Yeah.
Baby boy.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good actor. For
Disney character too.
He's multifaceted. Right. Yeah. And it doesn't involve taking advantage of people sexually.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I support that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a Nickelodeon documentary.
Let's not dive into that.
That shit is wild.
Let's not dive into
that. Lazy declassified.
talk about
a freak off.
A lot of shit being declassified right now. You know, I was saying I think we've come to an era now of things being exposed for how really messed up they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been working up to it. Like, I think Me Too was kind of the beginning of it.
Yep.
And Me Too had some hiccups. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there were some people that were falsely accused and had things,
certainly,
you know, ruined for them. But now we live in this era where it's like, you see all the messed up stuff that has happened, and mm-hmm. it's just being brought to light one way or another.
Not to make Bill Cosby the title of this this
title episode. Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
What happened to Bill Cosby should be the title of this episode.
What happened was?
Pudding.
Pudding what? Where?
So.
You're going to hell, Justin.
Bill Cosby is accused of raping dozens of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And many people in the commentary that comes around often is, well, he didn't rape all of them. And my response is, how many is enough?
Right.
So, bro, where do you draw the line for the threshold for it to be morally or ethically okay? And then that lets me know who you are as a person.
It's like, no, well, he only raped half of them. It's like, no, rape is bad.
Yep.
Period.
So half of 27 is still a lot. You know,
one is too many.
Yeah, it's like same thing with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah,
like how many did he sexually assault? Well, I mean, one was enough.
Well, we know that if
one was more than enough,
clearly,
we know that if he was searching for those things, there are people who specialize in those things. he wasn't searching for those things. He was searching to take advantage of people and to go against their wishes. Right. It wasn't about he needed some type of release. He needed to dominate someone in an unethical way to take advantage of them and make sure he dehumanized.
It was a power
them.
Thing.
It was a power thing. And that's what when it comes down, and I'm not a specialist on this, but when it comes down to rape, rape is not about sex. It's about power. And when people say, well, did he mean, that just came out easily, Freudian slip. Diddy, Cosby had all this money. Why would they do that? They could have had anybody they wanted.
Look, honestly, Darren Sharper was the one that caught me the most off guard. I'm not going to lie.
Really?
Yeah, that was a wild one, too.
I mean, I was
surprised by it. That was random as hell, too.
Yeah,
that was
like, he...
I'm sorry.
I mean, it caught me... I mean, because he's...
I mean, he had that face.
You saw it coming?
He has a face like...
I mean, no,
so you're racist now.
What is he doing?
You're racist.
He's a conventionally attractive, wealthy human being.
Yes.
Darren Sharper was a conventionally attractive, wealthy human being who did not need...
You said attractive?
Huh?
You said attractive?
Conventionally attractive. Okay. Like, based on what the standards of attractive are, he is conventionally attractive.
What are the standards?
I mean, I don't know.
Are these your standards?
No. What I believe is so societally acceptable.
Is it because he's brown skinned?
Huh?
Is it because he's closer to your side of the spectrum?
No, not really.
Mm, okay.
It's about my mind. Brownish. Not his.
You identified as Darren Sharper.
Skin tone, yeah. Do I not?
See the shit I gotta put up.
I'm brown.
I just want to note for the record, I've been quiet for the last 30 seconds. If anybody's chiming in, I'm not coming on this Darren Sharper.
Yeah.
He might have sharpshooters.
Right.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, not from jail.
Yeah, he is in jail.
They extradited him to California.
How long is he in there for?
A minute.
For life? Life?
Did he get picked up all across the U.S.?
Like, yes. He was, in like three different states wanted a piece of him.
This boy was committing crimes in every stop.
Yeah, like he had a New Orleans, he had Louisiana. I believe Texas and I believe California at the very least.
What about Wisconsin when we played with the Packers?
I don't remember anything from Wisconsin, but I know California wanted to extradite his ass something quick.
Well, damn. See, this is a good thing about the Me Too movement then, because what we find is particularly people with power and in situations that occur, it seems like a one-off, right? Oh, we never got a report on this, so we're treating it as the first time. Well, there must be some type of like misunderstanding between the two parties. Mm-hmm. So we're going to just, you know, not do anything. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you can have something in New Orleans and then have something in Wisconsin, because everybody's thinking it's one-off. But when we start to share the information that, no, he did this here, he did this there, then the conversation can kind of build, and we like, no, it just been a POS all across the southern U.S.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So... To bring it back and kind of close it up, because I feel like we could talk forever.
Look, I got time.
I don't know.
It's Sunday.
It is. So, what are, in your position with OpDec, what is something in particular that you're looking forward to working towards?
Well, as a member of OpDec, what I want to do is make sure, think about it, is that New Orleans is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
We are a democratic city. We are the blueberry and Blue the red Island. Tomato soup, right? Our democratic policy are always going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do we have one Republican that's in the city council?
Not that I'm aware of.
Justin, do you know?
Oh, I ain't at work right now. No, we don't.
Mayor.
I bet.
In the Louisiana House in... Everything is democratic here, so we're going to be good democratic-wise. What I want to do is I want to see that the OpDec here hosts more community-based meetings, because we're going to have democratic members, but we need to inform our voters more about what the OpDec is here for, what DSCC is for, what the Democratic Party is, to make sure that we can get them more involved so that people know what's happening. We can churn out more votes. And if we can maximize New Orleans more with our people actually voting, then that can assist us in our statewide elections. Mm-hmm. But also, if we can raise enough money where, yes, of course, we always want to keep money in New Orleans that's raised in New Orleans, but we can sometimes maybe invite another party, another locality to come in, have a fundraiser, do something, get money so we can make sure we can have candidates in their jurisdiction so that whenever those people are representing their people in Baton Rouge, they can join up with the New Orleans contingency and we can make sure that they're fighting against some of these radical ideas that are going on from our governor's mansion to the supermajority in the House and the Senate. So I want to get out there. I want to be with the people. I want to get more people involved and make the knowledge accessible. It shouldn't be what's your last name, what's your family, what high school you went to. Just because you're from New Orleans doesn't mean you're for New Orleans. I want to make sure that the people who are in these positions aren't just from here, but most importantly, that they're for here.
It's great, man.
Can't look, we close on that because I can't say it better than that.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here, man. Truly appreciate the conversation, and good luck to you, man.
Thank you. Also, I like your shirt.
Oh, thank you, of course.
You want to tell the audience what your shirt says?
1906. That's it. That's it.
What does that mean?
You know what it means.
I don't know.
You know what it means?
1906.
1906. Okay. Alpha Fraternity Incorporated.
Mm.
What's up? That's it.
Where's the light?
Can I stand this dude?
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Absolutely,
time.
Man.
Also, I want to give another shout out to the Xavier Wrestling team. I'm really proud of y'all. Thank you to my cat Bishop. Just keep being you, getting heavy. I'm happy you're still around. To my friends and family who have donated, allowed me to put signs up, walk these neighborhoods with me. I'm appreciative of that. For all the voters who voted for me in this position, for this opportunity, I will do everything to hold up your trust and your love. To my wife, I want to say thank you for being you. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being the support system. And thank you for not stressing me out. And that's not a backhanded compliment. We all know people can stress you out. I'm running for something. Everyone sees my face and people can be yeah. Mm-hmm. But I know I can go to her and have a moment of calm.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yeah.
Chill. I know that.
That's beautiful right there.
Absolutely.
Peace in the storm.
Yes, I can be with her, and she's not stressing me out, because while I'm an extrovert at times, I sometimes want to go back into my hole, but I don't want to be in my hole by myself. So yeah. She doesn't stress me out. She's good to be around. Just want to say thank you to her, to y'all, and everyone else.
That's what's up, man. And where can people follow you so they can follow what you're doing and what you're involved in, and they can be supportive of it?
Thank you. So I can be found on Instagram at Ken Barnes. That's KennBarnes. I can be found on Twitter at Ken Barnes, KennBarnes. I can be found on Facebook at Ken Barnes. You can be found everywhere pretty much at Ken Barnes. Ken is spelled with two N's. I can tell that story if you like. I can also be emailed info@votekenbarnes.com. That's info@votekennbarnes.com or kennbarnes@me.com.
Or hashtag win with Ken.
Hashtag WIN.
There it is.
WITHKENN.
So did you ever think about getting a sweater that said I'm Ken enough?
Oh my God. I am Knuff.
It is.
And that's another episode. Give us a like and follow on Facebook and Instagram at Day Late Dollar Show Podcast. And listen to us wherever you listen to your podcasts on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and more.